It was being suggested that he was renowned for being around all the time. It was like having a relative in trade. A god, now, a god would be something. Lady Odile Flume, in the fifth form, was always boasting that her great-great-grandmother had once been seduced by the god Blind Io in the form of a vase of daisies, which apparently made her a demi-hemi-semi-goddess. She said her mother found it useful to get a table in restaurants. Saying you were a close relative of death probably would not have the same effect. You probably wouldn't even manage a seat near the kitchen. If it was all some kind of dream, she didn't seem at any risk of waking up. Anyway, she didn't believe that kind of thing. Dreams weren't like this. A path led from the stable yard past a vegetable garden and descending slightly into an orchard of black-leaved trees. Glossy black apples hung from them. Off to one side were some white beehives. And she knew she'd seen it all before. There was an apple tree that was quite different from the others. She stood and stared at it as memory flooded back. She remembered being just old enough to see how logically stupid the whole idea was, and he'd been standing there, anxiously waiting to see what she'd do. Old certainties drained away to be replaced by new certainties. Now she understood whose granddaughter she was. The mended drum had traditionally gone in for, well, traditional pub games, such as dominoes, darts, and stabbing people in the back and taking all their money. The new owner had decided to go upmarket. This was the only available direction. There had been the Quizzing Device, a 3-ton water-driven monstrosity based on a recently discovered design by Leonard of Quirm. It had been a bad idea. Captain Carrot of the Watch, who had a mind like a needle under his open smiling face, had surreptitiously substituted a new roll of questions like, "Were you near Vortin's Diamond Warehouse on the night of the 15th? And who was the third man who did the blagging at Bearhugger's distillery last week? And had arrested 3 customers before they caught on. The owner had promised another machine any day now. The librarian, one of the tavern's regulars, had been collecting pennies in readiness. There was a small stage at one end of the bar. The owner had tried a lunchtime stripper, but only once. At the sight of a large orangutan in the front row with a big innocent grin, a big bag of penny pieces and a big banana, the poor girl had fled. Yet another entertainment guild had blacklisted the drum. The new owner's name was Hibiscus Dunelm. It wasn't his fault. He really wanted to make the drum, he said, a fun place. For 2 pins, he'd have put stripy umbrellas outside. He looked down at Glod.
"Just 3 of you," he said.
"Yes."
"When I agreed to $5, you said you had a big band. Say hello, Leas."
"My word, that is a big band." Dunelm backed away. "I thought," he said, "just a few numbers that everyone knows, just to provide some ambience."
"Ambience," said Imp, looking around the drum. He was familiar with the word, but in a place like this it was all lost and alone.
There were only 3 or 4 customers in at this early hour of the evening. They weren't paying any attention to the stage. The wall behind the stage had clearly seen action. He stared at it as Leas patiently stacked up his stones.
"Oh, just a bit of fruit and old eggs," said Glod. "People probably get a bit boisterous. I shouldn't worry about that."
"I'm not worried about it," said Imp.
"I should think not."
"It's the axe marks and arrow holes I'm worried about. Glod, we haven't even practiced. Not properly."
"You can play your guitar, can't you?"
"Well, yes, I suppose."
He tried it out. It was easy to play. In fact, it was almost impossible to play badly. It didn't seem to matter how he touched the strings, they still rang out the tune he had in mind. It was in solid form the kind of instrument you dream about when you first start to play, the one you can play without learning. He remembered when he'd first picked up a harp and struck the strings, confidently expecting the kind of lambent tones the old men coaxed from them. He'd got a discord instead. But this was the instrument he dreamed of.
"Well, stick to the numbers everyone knows," said the dwarf. "The wizard staff and gathering rhubarb, stuff like that. People like songs they can snigger along to."
Imp looked down at the bar. It was filling up a bit now, but his attention was drawn to a large orangutan which had pulled up its chair right in front of the stage and was holding a bag of fruit.
"Glod, there's an ape watching us."
"Well,"
said Glod, unfolding a